Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. We want to thank you that we can trust you in the darkness. Father, we want to thank you that you are just ever present, a help in a time of trouble. And so, Father, as I share the words that I have today, I just pray, Lord, you'd help me bring life and hope and truth into people's lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 119. And while you're doing that, Edwin Markham wrote a very short poem. He said this: "Great it is to believe the dream as we stand in youth by starry streams. But a greater thing is to fight life through and say at the end, the dream is true." You know, and there's something about, for our dreams to become true, to become real, we have to fight things through. You know, they don't automatically happen. They don't just happen. You have to work for them. You have to persevere. You have to hold on to what God has given you to dream. And, you know, faith works through love, but we fight the fight of faith. And so last week, 2 weeks ago, I spent a few days praying and fasting and just asking God for some direction, because I knew a number of people were in some challenging situations. And I was teaching you on trusting God in the darkness. Just when it just seems so dark, when you don't understand what's happening, when you suffer loss or when you suffer pain or when you're bereaved or just things aren't working out the way you thought they were. Life just isn't happening the way you expected. And at that time, God is asking us to trust him in darkness. And you know, there were a lot of people in the New Testament that had to do that, where they were in difficult situations. Jacob, David, Joseph, Gideon, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All of the disciples. All the apostles. It's just part of the growth of our character and our person and our calling. God means that we're going to go through some dark places. And you know, the darkest place is the hardest place to dream. But we need to continue to dream in the darkness. And you do that by trusting God in the darkness. And I talked about Joseph a little bit. And the wonderful thing about the story about Joseph was this, is Joseph was in God's prison cell. He was in the king's prison. He was there by the hand of God. He was there in the purposes of God. He didn't understand why this had happened. He didn't understand why he was there. But God had gone before him. And you hear his testimony after he reveals himself to his brothers, that God meant this for good, their evil. So here I am in the darkness, trusting God. What should I do now? That's really what I've been praying the last 3 days. Because, you know, some of you, we said this last week, that some of you aren't in, everything's going okay. Everything's fine. And this is one, you know, to put on the shelf, or I said put it in the freezer because you need fresh manna, don't you? And but not all of us are. But from some of the responses, I hit the head on the nail last week. So imagine now it's a winter's day, and we have a power cut. Should I say winter's evening? There's a power cut, so you can't see. There's no electricity. Your lights don't work. So what do most people do? Most people go and get candles. And they'll get a candle and they'll get a match and they'll light the match and they'll put a candle. And what the candle does is it gives a little bit of light in the darkness so that you can function. Can you see the picture? There's no lights now. You've just got a candle. So you can see around you, and maybe you put more candles up, and some of you might even light some incense for effect, but the candles bring some light in the darkness. In the same way, that's what the scripture does. Now, here's something that when you're in darkness at home, have you ever done this? You've turned the light on, everything goes light, and you turn the light off, everything goes dark, yeah? Does anything change between light and darkness in the room? Everything's the same. So in my bedroom, the bedside drawers are there. In my bedroom, the curtains still stay there. It's just like everything's the same. It's just I can't see it. And when we're in darkness, all the promises of God are the same. It's just you just can't see them. All the things that God has said is the same. It's just sometimes you just can't see them. It doesn't mean they're not there, and it doesn't mean they're not true. They're just the same. So in the darkness, we need to get out our candles. If I don't know what God is saying and what God is doing, I need to get my candle. And what this will do is it will give me light for now. It might not give me all the answers I need for what I'm going through, but I can have light for now. So let me turn you to Psalm 119, 105. We'll read that first, and then we'll read 130. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. Then 130 says, the unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So what the Bible does, it brings light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So in darkness, I need some light. So where do I go? I go to the word. The unfolding of your words gives light. So, you know, in darkness, the best thing to do, if you're in spiritual darkness, if you don't understand, if you don't know what's happening, the best thing to do is get into the word, because the word brings light. You might not get any answers immediately, but it'll be like that candle, just giving you some light for the now. And this morning, I want to give you some light for the now. The word is light. The word is life. So last week, I taught on trusting God in the darkness. When it's hard, when it's painful, when you don't understand, it's dark, God says to us, trust him anyway. Trust him in the darkness. And I went away and I prayed again, and I felt God say this, is that rejoice in the darkness. So the word of God today for you and for me is to rejoice in the darkness. Okay, rejoice in the darkness. Now, we'll talk about rejoicing generally, because you rejoice in the darkness and you rejoice in the light. You rejoice when everything's going well and you rejoice when everything's not going so well. But let's just think about this word rejoice, okay? Rejoice, it means to be glad, exceedingly happy, to be joyful. And it appears in the New Testament, I don't know, nearly 80 times. But when we say rejoice, I think I need to give it some substance to you to help you understand what I mean. So let's rewind time back to February of this year. Of February of this year, Wales played England. Do you remember? England came on a bus down the M4, and all the pundits were telling us how they were going to smash Wales. I remember reading one person, and he said, this England team is going to be the first England team to win all Six Nation matches with bonus points. That's to score four tries against. Or they were so confident they came down here. And we were, if you are Welsh, you know, and you read this stuff, you think. And so the game, you know, we won the game. That's one thing. But let me just put a time on it. For 67 and a half minutes, we were losing. And then in the 68th minute, Corey Hill scored a try. Everybody jumped up and go, yeah. And then they sat down because we were winning by 3 points with 12 minutes to go. And for the next 10 minutes, everybody's focus is on the game. Watching, hoping, praying that we'd hold them out. On the 78th minute, that's 2 minutes to go, Josh Adams catches a ball, a cross kick from Dan Bigger, catches the ball, stumbles over the try line and scores a try, and Wales go 8 points up with 2 minutes left, and everybody knew Wales were one. And at that point, 70,000 Welshmen in the stadium and another million watching on TV just went absolutely crazy. And they were rejoicing and they were jumping up and down and the beer was flying all over the place and they were so happy and they were dancing and it was just like shouting and screaming. And I was in a Korean restaurant in London and on the 17th minute, I go, yes! And realized where I was and I calmed myself. I didn't want to embarrass my family. Okay, that the 78th minute, 70,000 people just go crazy. They are rejoicing in what? In the rugby and in what's just happened in front of them. They have been concentrating and focusing their mind on the rugby, and in the 78th minute, they went crazy. And then for the next half an hour or whatever it was when the Grand Slam and the Championship Cup was presented to Wales, they're dancing and they're rejoicing and they're so happy. No, it wasn't that game we won it. Sorry, we just beat the English then. Sorry. But just the same dancing. We love English in this church. Okay, now pause. On the 78th minute, 70,000 Welsh people in that stadium were rejoicing in the rugby. However, don't tell me none of them were sick. None of them had money problems. Or they were grieving. Or they were looking at the barrel of redundancy. Or they had marriage problems, or they were unemployed, or their children were a rebellion. They had all the problems of life that people have, every one of them. You'd find everything in that stadium. Yet for one moment, everything they were going through in life was just like disappeared, and they were rejoicing over a stupid man, no, not the man, but the rules, just plonking a ball down and scoring a try. They were rejoicing. They were forgetting everything because they were rejoicing in the rugby. Now, the word of the Lord to us is this, is rejoice in Him. Got to put our focus on Him. If we're going to focus, if we're going to rejoice in Him, it doesn't matter that my wife's just left me. Please don't. It doesn't matter that this has happened. It doesn't matter. I can still rejoice in God if I put my focus on Him. And even if it's for like half an hour or an hour, even if it's for that period of, you know, and then I come back to planet Earth and I'm thinking, I've got to face this problem now. I rejoice in the Lord. I can rejoice in darkness. Let's just consider the Apostle Paul for a moment. He is in prison. Okay, he's not in a dungeon. He's more likely under house arrest. He's restricted. People are talking badly about him. There's some trouble being stirred up. And he writes this letter to Philippi, the church in Philippi. And this letter was written about AD 61. And he's just writing to say thank you for a gift they sent. They heard he was imprisoned. He needed some money, so they sent him some money. And he wrote back to them, thank you for your gift. And in this particular letter, the word joy, or a derivative of the word joy, appears 16 times. And it's known as the joy letter. And Philippians, you can listen to it in 14 minutes. Just stick it on YouTube. 14 minutes. Somebody's reading it out. You can read it in 10. But I haven't got time for us to read it now. Go home and read it if you've never read it. Read it again if you have. But if we turn to Philippians, which is in the New Testament, we're going to look at three of the 16 or so occasions. See, I give thanks to God. The only time I've been in prison is to visit someone. Um, I don't fancy going to prison. And neither did Paul, but Paul went to prison for Christ. And at times, you know, that happens to our brothers and sisters even today. And he had heard news that some people were preaching the gospel for good motives, and others were preaching it for personal gain and to cause him trouble. And in responding to that, he says in verse 18, let's start there. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Even though people call us in him trouble. Do you notice he doesn't say, do you know what, I want to put them up against the wall and shoot them. He doesn't want to get back at them. He doesn't say have nothing to do with them. He just says, look, they're preaching Christ. And I'm rejoicing in this, that they're preaching Christ. And I will rejoice because this will turn out into my deliverance. Okay, I want you to look at two words. I will. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will. I will. If you're sitting next to your wife or husband, say, I will. Will. Do you take this, ma'am? Yes, I will. I will. Do you see what that means? That there is an element of my decision. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. It's not, oh, I feel like it because it's Tuesday. Or it's like payday. I'm going to rejoice because it's payday. Or we're off to Vienna for the weekend, so I'm going to rejoice because we're having a weekend in Europe. Or we're going down the Chinese or having a takeaway. No, no, that nothing good is happening. But he's saying this, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Let's say it together. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. More effort. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. But you're in prison, Paul. Who cares? Do you know there were prisoners watching Josh Adams from Bridgend prison, and they're all tense like the rest of us, and they're in prison and they've had their liberty gone. But when he dunked that try, when he scored that try, they were jumping and hollering, and they were giving the English inmates a bit of stick because Wales won. Rejoicing has nothing to do with circumstances. It is an attitude of heart and a position of focus. If I focus on God, I can always rejoice. Hallelujah. Second time, Philippians 2, verse 17. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. So think about what he's saying is, even if I'm going to die as an offering towards your faith, I'm going to rejoice. I will rejoice. And guess what he then says? And you should rejoice with me. He's facing death, pondering death. If you read the whole letter, he says, do you know, I've thought about going because for me to die is just gain. I've got to be with Jesus. But I'm going to stay for your sake. I'm going to stay a little bit longer just to help you. So facing death, he says, I'm going to rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Do you know, tonight, if you're looking at yourself, feeling sorry for yourself, I hope in the background of your head, you'll hear my voice saying, I will rejoice. This is a choice. This is something you can do. This is not easy. This is not, it's hard sometimes. But being hard doesn't make it any right. Do you know, I am glad and rejoice. Third time. Let's look at this. Philippians 3, verse 1. We're doing 3 or 4? 4. I'm going to do 4. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. finally, rejoice in the Lord. Does anybody remember the old song in the 70s? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, and if you had a choir master, you'd be going, rejoice, rejoice. And over there, going, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Always. And you know, he is saying here, rejoice in the Lord. It's an instruction. To write this again to you and again to you and again to you. You know, you could go away from here and you could say, oh, Alex just preached a sermon on rejoicing in the Lord. I've heard it all before. So? Because what is important isn't what you've heard before, but what you're doing now. And if you're not rejoicing, to have somebody remind you that this is your choice and this is your privilege to rejoice in the Lord, I am not apologizing for being really untheological. I'm not scratching where your head is thinking. It's simple. Rejoice. 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 I feel like I got my dancing shoes on. Rejoice. 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 These are very special shoes. I wore these when I gave my wife, my daughter away on her wedding. Rejoice. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. Pretty simple this, isn't it? Yes, it's really simple. It is so simple. The youngest child can understand it and the most theological person can understand it. But the only issue is this, is are you doing it? Fourth time. Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He's going on a bit, isn't he? Sounds a bit like me, doesn't he? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always, always. And again, I say, rejoice. See, when I rejoice, I give voice to my faith. Do you remember we started by saying, trust God in the darkness? Well, Lord, I'm holding on and I'm trusting you. Well, what do? I'm in the darkness. I'm trusting him. I don't understand. I just know that every one of his promises is going to come about towards us. So I hold on. I trust him in the darkness. And then I rejoice in the darkness because in my rejoicing, I give faith to my words. Praise is the language of faith. And when you have nothing else to say, just praise him. We always rejoice. Rejoice in darkness and in light. You should rejoice in abundance and in lack, in sickness and in health. Rejoice in the good times and the bad times. How many people have had good times? Okay, nearly all of us. Miss Pye, is that your hand up? Yeah. How many have had bad times too? Man, I'm looking at Bob over there. His bad times are a revelation. It's like, can anybody have as bad a time as Rob ever had? You know, you had bad times, didn't you, Rob? And who delivered you out of them all? Jesus. And he'll deliver them out of all your bad times too. See, we have good times, we have bad times. Sometimes we wake up and the sun is shining. Sometimes we wake up and it's raining. But rejoice, always. Rejoice when you're sowing, rejoice when you're reaping. Rejoice in the hot, rejoice in the cold. When things are going well and when things are going bad, rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. When you're rejoicing, do you know what happens is this? It's like grabbing hold of your tongue and forcing it down a certain direction towards your Savior and speaking words of praise and thanksgiving. See, when pressure is on people, we have a tendency to complain, feel sorry for ourselves. wonder how we're going to make it, speak words of doubt and unbelief because of pressure. When we're in the darkness, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. So what do? Rejoice. But I don't feel like rejoicing. Have you ever felt like rejoicing? Sometimes, you know, on some days you do and some days you don't. But it says always. So I'm going to rejoice him when things are going well. I'm going to rejoice him when the church is empty. I'm going to rejoice him when the church is full. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. When you rejoice in the Lord, you make him your focus, not your circumstances. Let me say that again. When you rejoice in the Lord, you make him your focus, not your circumstances. So why rejoice? I'm going to give you two reasons. Turn with me to Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16 says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, so why rejoice always? It's because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. You can give thanks in the darkness. Did you know? You can give thanks in the darkness. You don't give thanks for the darkness. Rejoice always. This is the will of God for you. People say, what's the will of God for my life? Rejoice always. You start rejoicing always and some other stuff will come into place. But rejoice always. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So if I'm going to be in Christ Jesus, I should be rejoicing always, giving thanks at all times and praying without ceasing. So number one, why rejoice? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And Jesus teaches us to pray, let your will be done, let your kingdom come. So right now, I can help bring the will of God into the earth by rejoicing always. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. You can do this. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Hallelujah. We can do this. This is the will of God. If it's the will of God, he will give us the power and the grace and the ability to do it. He won't cast us aside. I can do this. I can live this way. I can rejoice always. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, I will find everything I need to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Okay, that's the first reason. Okay, the second reason I should rejoice in the darkness is this. My cup is always full. It might be dark, but my cup is always full. Okay, do you know you have people and they're half empty, half full people? Yeah? Do you know them? It's like the half empty are the ones saying, well, there's not much water in there. And the half full will say, wow, that's enough water for me. That's more than enough. There's so much I can share it. You know, so you have half empty, half full people. And they go through the same problems. And they go through the same difficulties. And it seems that the half full person is always saying, well, everything's going to be okay. Well, we'll just trust God. Everything's going to be okay. It'll work out. And the half-empty person saying, God, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Help us. Now, I've made an exaggeration, but you know what I mean, don't you? And we look at our circumstances, but I want you to get rid of half because your cup is always full. Now let me help you see this. Turn to Psalm 23 with me. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Okay? Let me just say that God has no enemies in heaven. This isn't talking about the afterlife. This is talking about the now life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, everybody say my cup, overflows. My cup. See, because I'm not half empty or half full. I'm full. My cup overflows. So when I'm in darkness and I'm rejoicing in him, I'm not rejoicing because he's going to just get me through the darkness. I'm rejoicing because I got a full cup. You know, sometimes you say he's a brick short of something. I'm not a brick short of anything. I've got double bricks, if you like. Everything I need. You've got to catch this, because why do I rejoice? I rejoice because Christ has done everything and paid for anything that I need to get through life. So, my cup overflows. In the darkness, he promises to never leave me or forsake me. In the light, he promises never to leave me or forsake me. So I go through life, and he's right with me. He's in me, actually. I heard a great quote from Gwyn at Faith Academy. He said this: Christianity is divinity living in humanity. Oh, that's great. Christianity is divinity living in humanity. I am full of all the fullness of God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, in whom the Spirit of God lives in me. I'm no ordinary person. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's why my cup is full. That's why I can rejoice at all times. We rejoice at all times because my cup is full of his love. God loves me. God loves me. And Paul would say, me, the worst of sinners, God still loved. My cup is full because I'm adopted into the family, fully, fully joint heir with Jesus. Not a little bit, not taken in because God felt sorry for me, taken in as a son. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, now this is the love of God, that we would call us his children. And so we are. You know, now let me say this. You are a child of God if you got adopted. And when you get adopted, the Holy Spirit puts a seal on your heart and you know that you know. Not everybody's a child of God. Everybody's part of God's creation. But I got adopted. I got a new name. I got a new position on the earth. That's why I can rejoice. I'm not half saved. I'm fully saved. I'm not half getting to heaven. I'm fully getting to heaven. I'm not half blessed. I'm fully blessed. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. It says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So my cup, I don't know where it's gone. It's over there now. My cup is full of every spiritual blessing. Now. Because he has blessed me. My cup is full of the promises of God. And we learn in Joshua, it says, not one of the good promises of God failed to come to pass. God did everything he said. So I'm promise laden. I'm a fertile man, and I'm going to give birth to some things. Because my cup overflows. It can't stay in here. The promise can't stay in here. I've got to give birth to something. You've got to give birth to something. So when I rejoice, I was thinking about this when I was thinking about the rugby and Josh Adams scoring the try. I was thinking about the grave. And Jesus went into war with the devil. And for 3 days, you know, that was the 68th minute for the Welshman or the 78th minute. It was like nothing happened. And then on the third day, he rose from the grave and the stone was rolled away. And he led death and the devil captive. And just he won a great victory for us. And I get to enjoy the benefits of it. I trust him in the darkness and I rejoice in the darkness. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And here's the thing, I am giving you an instruction. When you get out of those doors, when you go home, you have choices to make. What one will you make? Because God is saying to us, rejoice him always. How often is always? It's from the moment I wake up till I lay my head. I will rejoice. My cup overflows. My cup is full of his blood that washes all my sins away. My cup is full of heavenly reward. Jesus said this, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Why do we put up with some of the things we put up with? Because they're the right thing to do, and our reward is great in heaven. Do you know, I'm going to have a great reward in heaven. Do you know why? Because I'm going to give my life to Christ on earth. You know, I remember somebody, and this isn't my story, but he said when he went to Center Parks for a week, it was looking a bit grotty, like it needed a bit of a clean up and a facelift and everything. But do you think he did that? No, because he was only there for 5 days. But in the house that he lived in, he did paint it. And that's a bit like the contrast between here and there. We're only here for 5 days. And then the rest of eternity, we stay in heaven. If we only live for the things here, we'd be very poor if we get there. And I rejoice and I'm glad because I'm having a reward in heaven. I'm having a reward in heaven. Rejoice and be glad, Jesus said, because great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Lamentations 3. That is just about the center of your Bible, a really thin book between Jeremiah and Daniel, I think, or Ezekiel. My cup is full of God's love, God's mercy, and God's faithfulness. I am a forgiven man. It makes me smile just thinking about it. Look at me. What a mess I was. But now I am a forgiven man. I have no fear because I'm forgiven. I have received mercy from on high. And I'm going to be with my Savior one day. What freedom, what joy that we can live like that. Lamentations 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Think about that just for a moment. The steadfast means it's immovable. So God's love to me is immovable and it never ceases. It flows towards me in the light and it flows towards me in the darkness. And I will rejoice in the darkness. His mercies never come to an end. Just think about it. I can pour this water into the cup and at some point it'll come to an end. And I won't take it to the end because I'll spill it all over the place. But at some point it'll come to the end. But God's mercies never come to an end. They are new. Every morning. Do you know, I don't care where you failed, what you've done wrong, what you've said. Today's a new day. And the flow of mercy towards us is new every morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I did, I won't tell you what I did. For some of you, it will be looking like in a mirror because you did it yourself. No terrible thing. But I lost my temper and I got angry. Anybody done that? That was me yesterday. Today, it's Father's Day. I've got to be on best behavior. But his mercy for me was new this morning. And I could get on my knees and say, God, forgive me. I did wrong. Help me change that I don't do this again. That I would walk in your grace and power, that I could just reflect the fragrance of Jesus wherever I go. My cup is full of mercy. My cup is full of love. My cup is full of God's faithfulness. My cup is full of his promises. My cup overflows. And you know that overflowing is, it goes from me to others. As God blesses me, I bless others. As God helps me, I help others. As God loves me, I love others. As God shows me mercy, I show others mercy. As God is faithful to me, I am faithful to others. It's not just about me and you. It's about others. My cup overflows because all that God puts in me, I can't keep it in. That's not because I'm a preacher and it's not because I'm a pastor, but the love of God compels us to reach others. The love of God compels us to love others. And when you rejoice in your darkness, when you rejoice when it's tough, when you rejoice in the tough place stops being so tough. Hallelujah. The darkness may seem overwhelming, but I will trust him in the darkness, and I'll give voice to my trust by rejoicing in the darkness. And sometimes it is tough. So I want to give you a scripture to hang on, if you like. To hang your coat and hat on. Turn with me to Romans 8, verse 28. Says, we know this, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. See, that scripture has got me through some of my darkest days. When I don't know what's happening, when I don't understand, when I don't think things are fair, when I'm concerned about the future, this scripture has helped me. We know. You need to come to a place where you know this, because when you know this and you're facing the storm, you know you'll come out the other side. We know that for those who love God, do you love God? Is it a passive love or is it an active love? Because sometimes we can get very passive with our love for God. And God wants it to be active. He wants us to express our love to him. He wants us to focus our heart on him. He wants us to worship him, which means to come close and kiss him. But for those who love God and are called according to his purposes, two conditions. Now, do you know, we all love God and we're all called if we're in the family. But are you living in your calling? Are you following? A lot of people put their faith in Christ and then stuff happens, and in the darkness they get disappointed, and in the darkness they get hurt, and in the darkness they say, well, I'm never going to deny my faith, but I'm just going to back off. And they lose purpose and they wonder why things aren't working. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. All things. All things. So if I love God and I'm called by him, everything I'm going through is going to turn around for my good. And you know, it'll work together for good. You know, it's like when you have children and you're a parent, second hardest job in the world, the parent. It's for the children's good, you don't give them instant gratification. Is that true? You give a child everything they want, you create a monster. You never discipline a child, you create a monster. So sometimes we don't get instant gratification from God because he wants to build our character. Sometimes we get cabbage instead of Big Macs. Sometimes we get green beans instead of pizza. Sometimes. But he's working and working and working and working with us. Everything will turn around to our good for those who love me. Why can I rejoice at all times? Because whatever I'm going through doesn't change this. What I'm going through is my circumstances. My circumstances are subject to change, but the word of God is eternal. My circumstances are subject to change, but the promises of God remain eternal. My circumstances are subject to change, but every good promise that God gives us, he'll bring to come about. Rejoice in the Lord always. But you don't know what I'm going through. I didn't qualify it. I instructed you. Rejoice in the Lord always. But it's really hard sometimes. Oh, I know it. Rejoice in the Lord always. But you don't have to live in the family I live in. Rejoice in the Lord always. But you don't know how much pressure is on me right now. Rejoice in the Lord always. But I'm afraid. Rejoice in the Lord always. Get the buts out. Just do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you're in the darkness, I told you last week, trust me in the darkness. And if you're still in the darkness, I'll tell you this week, rejoice in the darkness. It'll change everything because it'll change you. And when we get changed, the dark doesn't look dark anymore. And when we get changed, hope arises. And when hope arises, it puts a step in your walk. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. If you've got a lot of time on your hands, you can buy the CD. And as you're listening to it, count how many times I said the word rejoice. Because it'd be really interesting to know, wouldn't it? I'm not sad enough to do that. But I will listen to the CD again, or I do listen to my CDs again, because I've got to get the word in. My soul too. So what are we going to have to do? Rejoice. It's like my answer to everything, isn't it? Rejoice. But you don't know. I don't care. Rejoice. It's not that I don't care for you, but I don't care about what you're going through because it makes no difference. Rejoice. But I've been waiting 35 years. Anybody been waiting 35 years or more for a promise to come to pass? Okay, I've got a few hands up here. Well, what are you going to do in your 35? Rejoice. Rejoice. But Alex, I rejoiced for 34 years and then I gave up. What's your advice to me? Go back to rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a pretty simple sermon, isn't it, really? What did Alex preach about today? Rejoice. The truth is simple. the practice is challenging, life-changing, and beneficial. Rejoice. I wish I could sing like Ilgu. If I could sing like Ilgu, I'd be what do you call it when you sing without instruments? Would the musicians like to come back up? I think I'm losing it, yeah. I'm losing you now. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. I think we're going to sing, let's sing that song we started with, sing a hallelujah. Hallelujah is a Hebrew word that means praise the Lord. And let's sing above our circumstances, and let's sing above our enemy. Let's just rejoice. If you fancy dancing, it's okay. If you fancy spinning like a top, it's okay. If you fancy kissing someone, it's okay as long as they're consensual. You know what I mean, yeah? If you fancy throwing your beer over somebody, it's okay too, as long as they're consensual, you know. But all of these things happened when Josh Adams scored his try, and I've got some better news than Josh Adams. Amen? Yeah. If you fancy hugging someone, it's okay. But I know you're probably going to struggle with any of those things because you're too British. But we want to change the culture of our church, don't we, to be more kingdom, amen? So should we stand together? Father, we come to rejoice. We sing our hallelujahs. We praise you in all circumstances. We thank you in everything, not for everything. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our just thanksgiving. And we are going to rejoice, Father, not in five minutes when we sing this song, but we ask you to help us by your grace cultivate a greater lifestyle of rejoicing in our darkness. Father, that this isn't something we do on Sunday mornings, but this is something we live always. And Father, we are flesh and blood, and we know how hard that is. But we ask that you help us because it's your will that we do so. So I pray that grace is released to those who choose to be rejoicers, to help them on the road. And Father, as we rejoice, we just pray it causes our feet to tap, our step to bounce, and our heart to become glad. In Jesus' name, amen.